Mark chapter 14. And our text for this evening is the verse 8. The Lord said of this woman, she had done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She had done what she could. This woman who anointed the Lord Jesus is certainly one of the lesser known that we meet with in Scripture. Even though there are those who say this woman in Mark 14 is the same woman that we meet with in John 12. There in John 12, the woman referred to is Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. But if we compare the two accounts and the behavior of the two women, we'll see that there are a number of differences which indicate that they're not the same person. We notice, first of all, the place. Here in Mark, we are told that the Lord was in the house of Simon the leper. Now look at John 12. Verses 2 and 3. It says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And so we see in Mark, the Lord was in the house of Simon the leper. It is evident in John that the Lord was in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It would seem unlikely that being in somebody else's house, that Martha would be the one who would prepare a meal and do the serving. So we're led to believe that the Lord on that occasion, John 12, was in the house of the two sisters and the brother, where in Mark 14 he was in the house of Simon the leper. As well as the place, we notice a difference in the period. Look there in John 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. After 2 days. Now John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, had been raised from the dead. So you have a discrepancy then in the days. When the Lord entered the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, it was 6 days before the Passover feast. He entered the house of Simon the leper, it was 2 days. So we have then the place, the different, the period is different, and you look at the person. In John 12, verse 3, we are specifically told that Mary was the person who anointed the Lord. Yet when we come to Mark 14, verse 3, we're just simply told, and being in bed in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at me, there came a woman. No name given. There came a woman. And no mention of Martha. No mention of Lazarus. This leads us to conclude that we have two completely different incidents and two completely different individuals. But there's something more. Look there in verse 3 of Mark 14. And being in Bethlehem in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at me, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. You can underline those words. Poured it on his head. Now look at John 12 and verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So you have four different aspects of these two incidents, which would lead us to believe that we're speaking here, the scriptures are speaking about two different women. The woman in our text certainly is one of the lesser knowns, because her name is not even given. And I think we have proven that no, this was not Mary. This was a woman whose name is simply not disclosed to us. So let us consider this woman who anointed the Lord. And this woman who did what she could for her Savior. I want first of all to look at the conduct of the woman. The conduct. It was when the Lord was in the house of Simon the leper that he was entertained there, that this woman approached him. Notice regarding the conduct of the woman, we notice her service. Her service. Notice that when she came to the Master, she didn't come empty-handed. Instead, she came having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. The only other place where this spikenard is mentioned is in John 12. It's the only reference to spikenard in all of Scripture. This woman brought this precious ointment to Christ there in Simon's house, and she anointed the Lord, as we've seen in verse 3. This anointing, very significant in light of what we read 2 Samuel 2 and verse 4. For there you read, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Kings were anointed. And here we see that David was anointed king over the house of Judah. Now here we have this woman, and she anoints the Lord Jesus. What is she doing? She is anointing Christ, the King of her life. We know, yes, that the Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords. But this woman made the Lord Jesus Christ the King of her life. King of my life, I crown thee now. King of my life, this woman anointed the Lord. As well as her service, we notice next her sacrifice. She brought an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. This ointment was very precious, and certainly precious as it is today. Regarding her sacrifice and this ointment, I want you to notice the price. Notice the price of this ointment. We're actually given the value of the ointment. Look at verse 5. It might have been sold for more, 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. This came from the disciples. 300 pence, more than 300 pence. Now we look at that and we think, well, what really is that in today's value? What would it be today? More than 300 pence. You know, the Lord gives us the value. Right up to date, today's value. The Lord himself gives us the value of this ointment as it would be in today's language. Turn to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. The opening two verses. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. All right? A penny a day. And the value of the ointment, more than 300 pence. What is that? That's almost a year's salary. Think of it. More than 300 pence, and laborers were paid a penny a day. As I said, that is a year's salary, a year's wages. That is what this ointment cost, and cost this dear woman. Is this not a rebuke to those who skimp when it comes to giving to the Lord? There are many who give as little as they can and give something just to salve their conscience. As well as the price, consider the pouring. To take the ointment from the alabaster box, this dear woman didn't screw the top off it and pour it out under the head of the Lord. No. We're told she broke the box and poured it on his head. You might say, well, why did she break the box? Well, she broke the box, and upon doing so, all the ointment would have flown out. There would be nothing in the alabaster box left. There would be nothing in the box for herself. In other words, what she did that day. She broke open the box, poured every last drop of it upon the head of the Savior. She gave all to Christ and kept nothing for herself. As the hymn writer has put it, all to Jesus I surrender. But she did that all right. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence freely live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That was the testimony of this dear woman. She surrendered all to Christ, kept nothing for herself. So we have noted the service, have noticed her sacrifice. Notice something else that's very easy to miss. Her silence. It's interesting that there is not one recorded word that came from the lips of this unknown woman. She simply served the Lord in silence. No, she didn't talk to draw attention to herself. She wanted all of the attention to be upon the Savior. Even when, think of it, even when the disciples criticized her, she didn't answer them back. And in that, she was very like the Lord. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. The Lord didn't answer those who reviled him. And here is this dear woman. She served the Lord in silence. Didn't speak up to draw attention to herself. Another, rather, all that she did was for the Lord and to draw attention to him and to him alone. And when the disciples criticized her, she remained silent. So I noticed the conduct of the woman. That leads us now to consider the criticizing of the woman. The woman's silence really showed her spirituality. But the words that came from the disciples really showed their carnality. They behaved in a very carnal way. Especially in the light of what this woman did. In light of her behavior. We notice, first of all, their anger. We're told that there were some that had indignation within themselves. Verse 4. You look at that, you say, I can hardly believe that. Disciples. Those who had been under the ministry of the Savior for approximately 3 years now. And heard the Lord preach. And saw him work among instant individuals. They certainly didn't learn this behavior from the Savior. Shows you the fleshliness, indeed the carnality, the lack of spirituality here among the disciples. They were filled with indignation. That's a pretty strong word. They were filled with indignation. These disciples showed no desire, neither were they inclined to anoint the Savior. What they did do was criticized this woman. This woman who did what she could for the Lord. There's no hesitation on their part. No hesitation to be angry with this dear woman. Of course, the disciples demonstrated this fleshly, carnal nature on other occasions. Go back there to Mark 10. Familiar portion. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked. It's another strong word. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And we know what the Lord did. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. But what did the disciples do? They rebuked those that brought them. Instead of encouraging those that brought the children, instead of commending this woman for what she did, they criticized her. They condemned her. They had indignation against her. Does this show us really the Lord's patience with the disciples? This show us he didn't chase those men from him, stop them from serving him? Not at all. Shows the Lord's patience. Not only with the disciples, but the Lord's patience with us. With us. When we behave in a fleshly manner, we behave in a carnal way, the Lord is patient with us. Shows us from his word where we have gone wrong. He may rebuke us from the word, but he'll never disown us. That's who he is. As well as the anger, we notice the accusation. These disciples accused this woman. And again, and it's hard to believe how the disciples treated this spiritual, holy, godly woman. They accused her of waste. Can you believe that? This woman spent a year's salary, purchased alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. Broke the box, gave it all to Christ, and the disciples dared to say it was a waste. It's hard to take in, isn't it? Why was this waste of the ointment made? Verse 4. Did they not know? Surely they should have known by now. After 3 years under the Lord's ministry, surely they should have known that when we do anything for the Lord, it's never a waste. Never. And they above all should have known that any sacrifice and any service rendered to the Lord Jesus is never a waste. No matter how little we're able to do for the Savior or do for in his name, It's never wisdom. Never, never wisdom. But we know, again, as the hymn writer has put it, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a cry, then you can win it. If you go in Jesus' name, little is much. You think of the widow. And when others put into the treasury large amounts, the Lord Jesus said of the widow, she put in more than all the rest, because she put in everything she had. The Lord commended that widow. Little is much. The holy woman certainly put a higher value to Christ than the disciples here did. You could say, how dare those disciples accuse this woman of waste in anointing the Lord with this very precious and expensive ointment. Sure, it was the least that she could do. It was the least she could do. After all, where was the Lord going to? He was on his way to Calvary. Was this not the least that she could do? Anoint the Lord with precious ointment? What was an alabaster box of ointment? What was it to be compared to the blood that Christ poured out? She poured out very precious ointment upon the Lord. But the Lord was going to Calvary to pour out his blood for her. The ointment cost a year's salary. The blood cost Christ his life. What was the ointment to be compared to the precious blood of the Lord? This should teach us that all we do, our give, should be done in the light of Calvary. Whatever we're asked to do, whatever we can do, if we hesitate, think about Calvary. Think about what the Lord did for us there. C.T. Studd, the great missionary. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Here we have seen the anger of the disciples, their accusation. They accused her of waste. Next, we see their argument. So the disciples followed up their anger and their accusation with an argument, trying, as it were, to prove that the giving of the ointment to the Lord was a waste. They tried to prove it. How? Well, verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. That was their argument. It's an awful waste to pour the Lord, to pour this ointment upon the Lord, but it could have been sold for more than 300 pence and that money given to the poor. You know, if you were there, there's a question they would like to ask the disciples. When did you ever care about the poor before? When did you ever talk about the poor and the need of the poor? You'll have a hard job finding any reference to that in the Gospels. We all know what the disciples' answer was to many things. Send them away. Send them away. And here all of a sudden they're concerned about the poor. You notice something. The disciples were the ones who put the value on the ointment as more than 300 pence. We emphasize the silence of the woman. The woman didn't make any reference to what the ointment cost her. She didn't talk about what the ointment cost her. She remained silent. But it was the disciples then that valued the ointment at more than 300 pence. That's just so typical of so many people. They value everything in dollars and cents. They never think on what they're doing and what they're giving is for the Lord. They never think about what the Lord did for them at the cross, the price he paid. You cannot put any monetary value upon the cross work of Christ, upon the blood of Christ. But they always estimate everything in dollars and cents. This shows us the difference again in this dear woman and the disciples. They talked about the monetary value of the ointment. The woman never mentioned it. All that she was interested in was anointing the Savior. Whatever it cost her, it didn't matter. She was giving it to the Lord. She was serving the Lord. She was sacrificing all for the Lord. Was expressing her love for her Savior. And again, how can you put any monetary value on a person's love? Especially a person's love for Christ. So we have considered then the conduct of the woman, criticizing of the woman. That leads us finally to the commending of the woman. This woman could be sure that there she was in the house of Simon the leper, possibly the only woman there in the household of men, but she wanted to anoint the Lord. Nothing was going to hinder or stop her from doing that. And she could be sure that if the disciples criticized her, she was sure the Lord would defend her. Good to have the Savior. The Savior, he'll come and defend you. He'll be at your side and he'll defend you against the critics and the gainsayers. So regarding the commending of the woman, we notice first of all his defense. We're told that when the disciples criticized her, had indignation against her, murmured against her, said what she did was a terrible waste, it was time for the Lord to speak. Disciples had done enough speaking. The woman did no speaking at all. Now it was time for the Lord to speak. And what did he say? Let her alone. Amen. Let her alone. And that rebuke of the disciples silenced the disciples. We hear nothing more from them. The Lord's rebuke silenced those critical disciples. And we see just how sympathetic the Lord was towards this woman. Let her alone. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Now that was quite different from what the disciples were saying. They said it was a waste. They said it was a work of waste. The Lord Jesus gave his verdict. The Lord said it was a good work. Not wasted, no. It was a good work. The Lord Jesus, of course, knew all about being criticized. We pointed out many times. No matter where the dear Savior went in his public ministry, the Pharisees were not far away. Always criticizing him. So when the Lord heard the disciples criticize this woman, the Lord understood. He knew all about it. He knew what it was like. And he certainly came to the aid and the defense of this woman, because he is our high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Lord knew exactly how this dear woman felt. Touched by the feelings of her infirmity. No, he didn't denounce her. He defended her. This shows just how unlike the disciples were to the Savior. Again, that's something I've often pointed out. When you look at how the Lord treated others, say to yourself, would I treat others the same way? And when we look at how the Lord treated individuals, it shows us how unlike the Savior we really are. How many of us would have gone and looked for those disciples who denied the Lord, forsook the Lord, denied him with oaths and curses, said they didn't even know him. And yet he went after the resurrection and sought them out. We're so different, aren't we? We're so ready to condemn, like these disciples. But the Lord commended her. He commended her for what she had done. They said the work was a waste. The Lord said it was a good work. Why was it a good work? The Lord said, she has wrought a good work on me. That's why it was good. Because she did it for the Lord. Doing things for the Savior. That's what makes the difference. We do it for the Lord. As well as his defense, we have her devotion. What a truly wonderful word of commendation came from the lips of the Savior. Look there at verses 7 and 8. For ye have the poor with you always. Remember, that's what they said. This money could have been, this ointment could have been sold, the money given to the poor. The Lord said, but listen, you have the poor with you always. You can give to the poor anytime. Then the Lord said, but me ye have not always. It's only a matter of days, and the Lord would go to the cross and then return to his heavenly Father. And then the Lord said in verse 8, she had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Truly wonderful word of commendation. The Lord made it clear that they ought to have been thinking more of him than the poor. In all of her doing, she did what she could for Christ. What a wonderful example this unknown, unnamed woman set before us. She did what she could. Is that not what the Lord expects from us all, from all of his people? That we do what we can for Christ. We do what we can to further his work. We do what we can to further his witness. After all, the dear Savior did what he could for us. He did what he could until he could do no more. When he laid down his life, he could do no more. I notice something else here which the Lord commended her for. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Is that not most commendable? Now the Lord Jesus, through his public ministry, had ministered to the disciples and others, and during the course of that ministry had spoken many, many times about the day when he would lay down his life. And even when it came to near that time, the disciples didn't fully understand what the Lord meant. But this woman did. That tells me this woman was more in tune with the Savior and his words and his ministry than the disciples. So that day when she came into the house of Simon the leper and anointed the Lord, what was she thinking about? She was thinking about the cross, his death, and his resurrection. That's what she had on her mind. Dear, this dear woman, what a godly woman she was. It surely shows that she was thinking more about Christ and the cross than these disciples. And the Lord said she had done what she could. In other words, she couldn't do any more. She had done what she could. She had come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. She wanted to anoint the body of Christ after he was crucified. Before he was placed in the tomb, she wanted to do it at this stage. She did what she could. She may not have an opportunity to do it again. Does this not show us that as this dear woman had her mind and her thoughts upon the cross work of Christ and his death, that we ought to spend more time meditating and reading about the cross work of Christ? The defense, the devotion, the distinction. How the disciples put this woman down, criticizing her and murmuring against her. The disciples put her down, but what did the Lord do? The Lord lifted her up. The Lord lifted her up. For we read in verse 9, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." To say the disciples put her down, the Lord lifted her up. He said, no matter where this gospel will be preached, this woman will be spoken about. What a testimony. What a word of commendation. And as we say it, here we are tonight talking about this woman in another part of the world, to where she had done this great work. The Lord said in Matthew 23:12, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." This was a humble woman. Served the Lord in silence. Sought no glory for herself, but gave all the glory to Christ. Did what she could for the one she anointed as her king. Oh, may we learn from this woman. And what we learn tonight, let us put into practice. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Let's bow and pray. Our dear Lord and loving God, we come before thee again. And now, Lord, the likes of a testimony of this woman would rebuke many of us. My Lord, she sacrificed so much, knowing her Lord would sacrifice all for her. How she served him in silence, not drawing attention to herself, but to the Lord himself. Oh Lord, have us to learn from this dear, saintly, godly woman. May we meditate upon it, and upon her and all her actions. Lord, be with us, we pray, throughout this week, going out and coming in. Keep us well and healthy and safe. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.